Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 22. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. First fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck.
Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 23. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor, who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason, when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Towards his scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fool gets disgrace.
Let's just ask for God's help as we study his word. Father God, we come into your holy presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. We pray that your spirit would be at work in all of our hearts and lives, that you would minister to us from your word. Pray that you would give us receptive hearts. Help us as we study your word together. May it be for your glory and for the building up of your church and all of our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3. If you've got your Bible in front of you, that would be helpful. I read a short daily devotional last week called Staying on Track with God. And the story focused on, it was a train crash that happened in Spain 20 or so years ago. And it was a high-speed train that was travelling from Madrid to the northwest of Spain, and it derailed on a bend some 4 kilometres from its final destination, from the station. 79 people died, tragically. But the driver, who was a very experienced driver, he'd been driving trains for 30 years or so, He said that he had no idea what had caused the crash. He couldn't explain it. But the train's data recorder and the trackside video recorder could explain what had happened. They revealed that the train was travelling at more than twice the speed limit on entering the bend. And all 13 coaches derailed and 4 of them overturned. The driver had ignored the speed guidelines, and his ignorance wrecked both his own and many, many other lives. Now, the lesson of the devotion was this, that God has revealed his wisdom to us. His wisdom is his guidelines to keep us on track, on his track. And God has revealed his wisdom to us so that we don't make wrecks of our lives. And when we choose to ignore God's wisdom, we do so at our own peril. Now, the book of Proverbs that we're studying reveals God's wisdom for living. It was compiled to train up the next generation of Israel's young leaders. In the opening chapters of the book of Proverbs, a father counsels his son. And particularly when you come to chapter 3, the father is counseling his son on how to make a success of life. How not to make a mess of it by ignoring God's wisdom. Now, when we talk about success, we're not talking about material success, wealth and possessions. We're not even talking about physical success, good health, long life, or social success, popularity, a lot of friends, reputation. Now, you could easily think that's where the book of Proverbs is leading you when you read it. That if you do X, God will give you Y. That this book is a book of blank checks that we can cash in with God. That if you keep God's commandments, you will live a long life. You may do, but that is not a guarantee. Someone was speaking to me this week about Robert Murray McShane. He was a minister at St. Peter's in Dundee, one of the godliest people of his generation, and he died when he was 29 years old. Now, I think it's important to remember the Old Testament context to the book of Proverbs, and particularly in relation to God's covenant with Israel, which included material promises. And many of God's blessings were manifested in a material manner. Blessings that related to the land, blessings that related to the harvest, to the crops, to the livestock, and so on. The New Testament application for us is that wisdom's rewards are spiritual and eternal, not material and temporary. Yes, living by God's wisdom may lead to material prosperity. It may lead to good health and a long life. But these things are secondary, and they are by the grace of God. Proverbs is not guaranteeing material blessings. Now, we've learned from chapters 1 and 2 that living by God's wisdom is a choice. We choose to seek it, or we choose to ignore it. And God's wisdom affects every area of my life. Will I choose to seek and follow God with the choices of life? Will I seek God's wisdom in my choice of marriage partner, for example? Or how to live as a single person? Or will I ignore it? I had dinner with someone this week and they were telling me about their brother who effectively married the wrong person against counsel and advice from others and made a wreck of their life. Will I seek God's wisdom in bringing up my family? Will I be passive or an active parent in my family witness, in my spiritual devotion to bringing up my children? Will I seek God's wisdom in how I handle my finances, my choice of career, how I choose to live and witness in the community that God has placed me, what I do with my spare time, the investment that I make in studying God's word and in my relationship with God? These are all life choices. Some of them are milestone choices. Others are everyday choices. God wants us to make a success of our lives, and he has revealed his wisdom to us. So do we bring God's wisdom into every area of our lives? Or do we pick and choose? Do we treat God a bit like the emergency services? We reach out to him only in times of trouble or crisis, or only when we want something or feel we need something. Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 and listen to what God would say to us about making a success of our lives. Jonah, if you could put up the first. You're already there. Thanks very much. So the chapter splits into three sections. Verses 1 to 12, we have the life of wisdom, Godward. What does the life of wisdom look like in terms of my relationship with God? And then verses 23 to 35, at the end of the chapter, it's the life of wisdom, manward. What does the life of wisdom look like in terms of my relationship with my neighbour, the community, and with mankind in general? If you look at verse 4 of chapter 3, we read this: "So you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man." The life of wisdom is lived out both in the sight of God and also in the sight of man. And then in verses 13 to 21, we have this little section sandwiched in the middle. It is the meat in the sandwich, and it is about the pursuit of wisdom. Why we should pursue God's wisdom in our lives. And that's where we're going to start the study, in that middle section. Look at verse 13. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." Wisdom in Proverbs is framed as a pursuit. We've to search for it. Chapter 2, verse 4. "Seek it like silver. Search for it as hidden treasures." Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, who gets understanding. Where do we find it? Well, God reveals his wisdom in principle and in person. In principle, through principles laid down in his word, through his moral law, through the commandments, through the proverbs, and we'll come back to that point later on. But also God reveals his wisdom in person. Wisdom is personified in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 3, in the section, this middle section, just look at verse 14. "For the gain from her," that's wisdom, "is better than gain from silver. Her profit better than gold." Verse 15, "She is more precious than jewels." Look at verse 16. "Long life is in her right hand." Verse 18, "She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her." Now this is pointing us to the truth that ultimately God's wisdom is found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 24, Paul refers to Jesus as the power of God and the wisdom of God. Colossians 2 verse 3, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Jesus is the beginning and end of the wisdom of God, and it is through relationship with him that we come into the sphere of God's wisdom. We understand it through the Spirit of God revealing it to us in his word. Let me just read some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. verse 5, so that your faith, Paul writes, might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So why pursue God's wisdom? Well, this little section gives us two reasons. Verses 14 to 18. Number one, pursue wisdom because God's wisdom is more valuable than any of the world's riches or treasures. Look at verse 14. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver. Her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Now look down to verses 19 to 20. The second reason to pursue wisdom. God's wisdom is of infinite power. Through his wisdom, God created the universe. Look at verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds drop down the dew. We see God's wisdom displayed in creation. We know that all things were made through Jesus. Thinking of those closing chapters, you know, in the book of Job, when God reveals to Job that his wisdom is revealed through creation. We see it in the order of the universe. We see it in the seasons, the tides, the laws of nature, and in the animal world. And here's the point that the writer is getting to. If this is what God did with his wisdom in creation, think what God will do with his wisdom in the lives of those who seek it out. And those who find wisdom in Jesus Christ. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Two reasons why we should pursue wisdom. It is of immeasurable value and it is of infinite power. Now look at verse 21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Do not lose sight of how valuable or how powerful God's wisdom is. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment to your neck. Let me go back to verse 13. Blessed or happy is the one who finds wisdom. This is the meat in this Proverbs 3 sandwich. So how do we put, this is why we should pursue it, but how do we put this wisdom into practice? How do we live our lives grounded on God's wisdom? Well, this brings us to the two sections either side of the meat. So verses 1 to 12, the life of wisdom Godward. So in this section, there are a number of admonitions, commands, let's call them principles, and then they're followed by the reasons for obeying that command or for keeping that admonition. For example, verse 1, here is the admonition, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, verse 2, here's the reason for doing it, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Again, verse 3, the admonition, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Verse 4, the reason, so you will find favor and good success. This is how the narrative is structured. So in verses 1 to 12, and Joanna, if you can put up the next slide, please, thank you. There are five admonitions or five principles for living a life of wisdom. And this is to do with our relationship with God. And I'm just going to mention them. We don't have time to dig into them. But the first one in verses 1 to 2, love God's word. Love God's word. Where do we find wisdom? He reveals it to us in principles found in his word. Therefore, we need to learn and to love God's word. I wonder if you noticed the repetition of that phrase, your heart, in these opening verses. Look at verse 1. Let your heart keep my commandments. Again, look at verse 3. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is about your heart. This is not about outward show. This is not about intellect. This is about your heart, your core, your inner being saturated in the word. 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says, the Spirit of the living God has written on our hearts. I was reading a devotion this morning, and there was a phrase that God doesn't measure a person around their head, but around their heart. It's about your heart. You love the word, and you search the word for wisdom, for principles that inform your every life choice. This is how God's wisdom works. You build your life on God's word. I was thinking about the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man builds his life on the rock of God's word. The foolish man builds his house on the wisdom of man. He ignores God's wisdom. And when the storms of life hit, because they hit both the wise and the foolish, they hit both God's children and those who are not God's children. When the storms of life hit, it is the life that is built on the rock of God's word that stands firm. And the house on the sand collapses. Principle number 2, look at verses 3 and 4. Display God's love. Verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. This word steadfast love, it is the Hebrew word hesed. This is God's covenant love for his people. God's unconditional, generous, and enduring love. It is God's commitment to his people. And this love is to be reciprocated by us, both to God and to man. And it's to become a part of us. That's why it's to do with your heart. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness, that word really describes God's utter reliability, both in word and in deed. We can trust God no matter what. He is reliable. And here is a bit of a spiritual bling. Write them, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Let God's steadfast love and his faithfulness adorn your life for all to see. The third principle, verses 5 to 8, trust God's ways. This really ties in with Psalm 33 that we're thinking about this morning. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Again, it's with all your heart. Life's choices, life's decisions, life's motives, all directed towards God's purposes. This is what it really means to follow the Lord. I guess this is the equivalent of the to have and to hold marriage vow. This is our marriage covenant with God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You know, I don't like going on ships, going on boats. And it's that thought when the ship leaves the dock and you leave the shoreline, you feel, you know, as if you're constrained, you're in the ship. And I think that's the picture here, that we leave the shoreline, we leave our own ambitions and our own abilities behind on the shoreline, and we step out in faith onto God's boat, onto God's ship, and onto the bridge where God's love and power guides us, and we trust Him. We trust Him. Here's the point. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. The point here is that the will of God for the Christian is what health is to the body. That when we follow God's will and trust Him completely, it leads to our well-being at the very depths of our beings, our inner core, our bones. Number 4, verses 9 to 10. Honour God with your wealth. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. You know, this is the Old Testament picture of the harvest and first fruits, where it was about giving the best and the first of the harvest to God, acknowledging that the entire harvest belongs to God. But honouring God is your absolute priority. You know, don't forget God. And if you become more prosperous, let your giving be more generous. Give back to God what He has blessed you with. Honour Him and use it for His glory. Verse 10, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. This is the way to lasting spiritual wealth. Letting God fill your barns and your vats with His blessings. Then the fifth one, verses 11 to 12, accept God's reproof. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. The discipline of a father is a sign of a father's love for his child. And the motive for discipline here is out of love. You know, I can still remember being disciplined by my dad when I was young. And sometimes publicly. Sometimes in the middle of Marks and Spencers or wherever. And, you know, it's countercultural now, but you never forgot the lesson. You never forgot the lesson. And the point here is let the discipline of the Lord transform our lives. So this is a life of wisdom, Godward. Love God's word, display God's love, trust God's ways, honour God with your wealth, and accept God's reproof. And then we come to the final section, verses 23 to 35. And this is the life of wisdom, manward. And I'm just going to mention these very quickly as we close. That those whose lives are grounded in the wisdom of God know and enjoy, first of all, in verse 23, God's security. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. God's security. And because of his security, in verse 24, we enjoy His rest. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. In verses 25 to 26, we live in the good of God's protection. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. His protection. Then verse 27, we are to live generously. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. We have to be generous. And then verse 28, to be sacrificial. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. We have to be sacrificial. We've also to be prepared to put up with inconvenience. You know, sometimes it's about how we respond to the interruptions in life. We see that in the life of Jesus. When he's dealing with, Jairus and his daughter. And then on his way to that issue, here comes the woman with the issue of blood. And how Jesus dealt with interruptions in his life. How do we deal with those interruptions? And then finally, verses 29 to 31, we are to live peacefully with our neighbor. Do not plan evil against your neighbor. Verse 30, do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Verse 31, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord. This is the life of wisdom. A life of success lived in the sight of both God and man. Don't ignore God's wisdom. That's how you'll end up making a wreck, a mess of your life. Stay on track with God. Seek the wisdom of God in his word. Apply it to every area of your life and know true happiness. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom. May God bless his word. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you that our faith does not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is both the wisdom of God and the power of God. Father, may you help us to have hearts that seek your wisdom, that love your word, that would cover our lives with your wisdom, that we may live lives that are lives of success for your glory. We pray for those who are struggling. We pray with those who are faced with choices and decisions. We pray for everybody here just in the everyday routine of life. We pray, Father, that in all these things we might seek your face and live for your glory and honor. Bless us as we go into this week. We remember legacy. We pray for your blessing, your protection upon that event. We pray that you would speak into the lives of the children. We pray too for the boxing outreach, and we just pray that this would help build relationships and give opportunities to tell others about Jesus. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you. We ask all these things for your glory and in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.